Hey there, just a quick heads up. We're not doctors and this isn't medical advice. We're just sharing what's worked for us. So as always, check with a healthcare professional before making any changes. All right, let's get into it.
Hello and welcome back. We are so happy you are here. Today's episode is a little different. I'm sure you can tell in my voice. This is a very serious topic. We generally laugh a lot on here and we talk a lot about food labels and the toxic junk that's in our food and a little bit of sarcasm about what's going on in the world today. But today it's about our children and the state of their health. This isn't fringe. This isn't conspiracy. This was actually discussed on the Senate floor. America's children are the most vaccinated, medicated, and most chemically exposed and the sickest in the world. ADHD, allergies, obesity, autoimmune diseases, and the list goes on. Those used to be just rare outliers, but not today. It's the norm. This episode isn't about fear. It's about connecting the dots. It's about bringing awareness to a subject that, you know, I think deep down you've been starting to question and ask why. So, on today's episode, we're going to talk about all of that, and hopefully we'll bring some light to a subject that it could be very dark and scary.
So yes, I am super excited, I know as you are, about our topic today. This is just something that we're both very connected to, we're both extremely passionate about, and there's been a lot of really interesting stuff that has come out of the Make America Healthy Again movement, but specifically yesterday, on the Senate floor, Aaron Seery, what he was discussing and the findings from a study that was actually completed in 2020.
Wow. 2020?
5 years ago, it was hidden, is now coming to light, but it's really interesting. And I think that, you know, you're beginning to see a lot of doors open. A lot of us have wondered, you know, why we're starting to question after the pandemic. I know I'm not the only one. A lot of people started to, you know, question because we're sicker and sicker as a society. Yes. We're seeing these staggering numbers that are coming out. I mean, just the other day, was it 2 or 3 days ago, the report that the Make America Healthy Again movement released was what, 78 or so, or three of every four Americans has some sort of chronic disease. I mean, just staggering statistics. 8 of 10 kids wouldn't qualify today to even get into the military just because of their health or their chronic issues. And so we have to, as a society, have to question what is happening.
Right.
What is going on? Where is this coming from? And so we're going to play a clip from the testimony yesterday on the Senate floor. And that'll be our starting spot for today. But we want to bring awareness to what's out there, because I can tell you one thing. It is not being covered by the mainstream media. When just a simple Google search today of trying to find this information, not one of the major media outlets has this link that I could find as of today.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing. Not surprising at this point with how kind of far along I am at this research journey, but it's disappointing. Yeah. Just not shocking. Well, really disappointing.
Well, they're trying to regulate what we as Americans can see.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't want to uncover things that could possibly affect their pocketbooks.
And go against the narrative that's been created, right?
Correct.
Yes, but we got it. That's what we're here for. We got to question it. We've got to not just follow along, because something's got to change.
Yeah.
We cannot continue down this path of we're seeing the statistics. We're seeing our kids and just Americans in general. Just we're sicker. Right. We're overweight. We're unhealthy. And something's got to change. Something's got to give.
Something's got to give.
Yes.
And, you know, we as, you know, society, we're being kind of told what to hear and listen to. And anything that's kind of saying the opposite, we're going to take medical licenses away. We're going to do things to shut that down, because again, it all comes back to money and power.
Questioning the narrative. And if anybody speaks out and provides evidence, factual, if this is not just a crazy conspiracy of, oh, I just think this, I have nothing to back it up. There is actual proof here. And so I hope that we pause and maybe you're not an RFK Jr. fan. Not everybody is.
Yeah.
Right. But you can't deny the facts that are being put out there by this Make America Healthy Again movement. You can't deny it. You just look at it. I mean, I'd say be open-minded, hopefully, because
Whether it's you or it's your child or it's someone you know, everyone knows somebody that has, you know, concerns about their health.
Yes.
And not that that's not always been there to a degree, but the influx. We're the most obese society. Mm-hmm. We have more type 2 diabetes than any other country. I mean, the list goes on. And so you have to start to question what has shifted.
Like why something are we like this in a country like America? Why, right? Why? We have access to basically everything we need, but yet we are so overweight. We are so sick. We have so many health issues. We are on so many prescription drugs as a society that, again, you've got to question what's wrong here. Something's not quite right.
Right. And it's not just one like chronic disease. It's like every person that has one chronic disease, generally there's three or four. In the micro, I mean, it's like, I think it's called like the microbiome. Like it's,
you're dealing with constant issues.
And so if you're one of those people, maybe you're starting to question like, is there something else that I can do to help my body heal itself the way God, you know, intended? He intended for us. I mean, we talk about different things in nature that he gives us, right? But he's also created our bodies to heal itself. Like the liver is a perfect example of a way that it can heal itself. It can repair itself.
Yeah.
Because he's created us in that, with that mindset. We're made in his image. So
why
don't we play the clip?
Study of comparing vaccinated versus unvaccinated children. As the trailer you just watched noted, Del Bigtree, ICANN's CEO, had met Dr. Marcus Zervos at one point, who was the head of infectious disease at Henry Ford Medical Center. And he agreed to meet and to potentially do the study. He is conducts clinical trials for vaccines, including for the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. He's avowedly pro-vaccine. And when we met him, we argued that this was an opportunity to shut the anti-vaxxers up about their claim that unvaccinated children are healthier. To our surprise, Dr. Zervos said he would conduct the study. He recruited a chief epidemiologist and two statisticians within Henry Ford to do so. These were mainstream scientists who no doubt held orthodox views regarding vaccines. In early 2020, I received a copy of the study. It showed the results of the analysis comparing children enrolled in Henry Ford from 2000 to 2016 from birth onward who had no vaccines compared to those who had one or more vaccines. The study was based on actual medical records, meaning finally, a large vaccinated versus unvaccinated study using health data from a major United States health institution, something, as the IOM pointed out, never existed before. The study began by explaining it set out to reduce vaccine hesitancy by assuring parents the CDC vaccine schedule is safe. Instead, what these researchers found was that vaccinated children had 4.29 times the rate of asthma, 3.03 times the rate of atopic disease, 5.96 times the rate of autoimmune disease, and 5.53 times the rate of neurodevelopmental disorders, which included 3.28 times the rate of developmental delay and 4.47 times the rate of speech disorder. All of these findings were statistically significant. There was also other conditions for which there were numerous cases in the vaccinated group, but zero in the unvaccinated group. Hence, a rate could not be calculated, including brain dysfunction, ADHD, learning disabilities, intellectual disabilities, and tics. For example, there were 262 cases of ADHD in the vaccinated group, and there were none in the unvaccinated group. In this study, there were around 16,000 kids in the vaccinated group, by the way, and around 2,000 in the unvaccinated group. So the rate, of course, between those is important, and that's what the study compared. These findings were troubling, including because these chronic health issues can be caused by immune system dysregulation, and vaccines can cause immune system dysregulation. Citations for this are in my written submission. Overall, the study found that after 10 years, 17% of the unvaccinated children had a chronic health issue, while 57% of the vaccinated children had at least one chronic health issue, often multiple. That's 17 versus 57%. The only real problem with this study and why it didn't get submitted for publication is that its findings did not fit the belief and the policy that vaccines are safe. Had it found vaccinated children were healthier, it no doubt would have been published immediately. But because it found the opposite, it was shoved in a draw. We have repeatedly urged Dr. Zervos and Lamoretta to submit the study for publication. They have affirmed The study was well designed and conducted. But Dr. Zervis has said he doesn't want to lose his job. And Dr. Lamoretta has said she does not want to make doctors uncomfortable. This is a real-world example of how the science around vaccines gets corrupted, how only studies that confirm the beliefs and policies that vaccines are safe get published. Everything else gets shoved in a draw. This selection bias is dangerous and results in corrupting all the science concerning vaccine safety. We can protect children from infectious disease, and we can protect children from vaccine harms. We should and we must do both.
So it's shocking hearing, I mean, just to hear some of the statistics, hear some of those numbers. They've clearly got that control group of vaccinated versus unvaccinated. And it's just, it's mind-blowing that the study was conducted in 2020. And we're just now hearing about it 5 years later. But I think one of the most surprising or I don't know, just shocking things that really stuck out this. And then there's another one as well. This isn't the only study out there. It just seems that they get pushed down and shoved and hidden.
In fact, there was one in 2020 that a guy did, Paul Thomas.
Pediatrician
out of Oregon that, you know, found his own, did his own research, had a peer review study, right?
He had a peer reviewed study based on his actual patients in his practice and what he was able to find vaccinated versus unvaccinated. And shocker, as soon as he released his peer reviewed study, he had his medical license revoked. And ultimately he was pressured to pull that study back. So again, similar to this one, I know that I searched to see, okay, what type of articles are out there? And I found just a few this morning on some of the smaller news outlets, but they were all talking about how this study was flawed that came out. But what's so, again, so shocking to me is just the difference between what they were able to show in the vaccinated group versus the unvaccinated kids. Zero ADHD in the unvaccinated
group. That's so
crazy. Zero. And the Dr. Paul Thomas found the exact same thing in kids. Now, again, do I know is that the exact cause? And I have no idea. But what I do know is that's something that makes me open my eyes and say, damn.
Zero.
You've got two different study groups, thousands of children, and zero ADHD in both groups that were studied.
Right.
With thousands of children.
I find it very interesting that it happened in 2020. And there was some kind of vaccine, quote unquote, vaccine being pushed in 2020.
And how terrible would it be for this study to come to light while they're trying to vaccinate the entire country?
That like I can put two and two together. Mm-hmm. Like that, and that doesn't make me a conspiracy theorist. It makes it very like that's just obvious. Like these studies were proving that the vaccines are maybe something we should
rethink. Is it saying all vaccines are bad?
No.
But what it is saying is, hey, maybe let's relook at the schedule. And you know what's crazy too is I think about all this and it makes me think back to the days of Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey. They were trying to bring light to this
autism
way back in the day because her son suffers from autism and she links it to vaccines that he got. And again,
and they thought
she was
crazy.
We're not doctors. We're just critical thinkers who are starting to question something's not quite right. Look where our health is going as a society, as a country. Look at some of the things that we have in place here that others don't.
Right.
I know one of the article that's come out about trying to poke holes and trying to, I guess, just shit the study away is that there was a study that was released in Denmark that didn't find any correlation between vaccinated, or not released in Denmark, but it was a study done on children born in Denmark, and it was vaccinated versus unvaccinated. But there, you're not comparing apples to apples. When you look at Denmark and you look at their vaccination schedule, it's like a third of what the vaccination schedule recommendation is for children here in the United States. And all they did was study the first 2 years of life.
Yeah.
It's significantly, again, they're getting a third less vaccines in Denmark. So how is that fair to compare those children who get a third to the children here in the United States who, if we're going along with that CDC recommended schedule, we're getting three times as many? You can't compare the two. And so it's not, in my mind, that's not comparing apples to apples. No. And so when you see those articles that are saying, oh, this is a flawed study, really, again, question, take that deep dive. We're going to post all the links as well to the different studies that we are referencing. Mm-hmm. We're going to post those on our social. So again, we encourage you all
to do your own
research, deep dive in, because this is some really big, big news that just came out yesterday.
And it's interesting. It's very interesting because, you know, I was considered a bad mom 14 years ago when my daughter was born blind. And, you know, having a child born blind and just all of what that entails. I mean, and the fact that she was going to need surgery within 6 weeks of her being born. And the things that I was dealing with just that part of her life. And I remember going into her pediatrician at the time. And, you know, just saying, okay, I'm ready to, it wasn't like I was against vaccines, but I was dealing with a child that's different. We're not robots. We are all uniquely made, and God's created us so unique and so special. And I looked at my child that way, and, you know, he looked at me like I was crazy, and he was like, you know, she needs, you know, all of her vaccines. When are you going to start them? Like, and just kept pressuring me. And I just kept saying, you know, we're in surgery. Like, almost every 3 to 4 weeks, her first year and a half
of life.
So
you just question it. So just for context, right? It's your middle child.
Yes.
Your first child vaccinated, went along with the CDC, with that recommendation. Absolutely. It was
when Finley
was born, you started obviously just questioning because she's going through surgeries, going through anesthesia. Did you want to
give
her those immunizations at the exact same time that she's doing surgery? So how did you question as a mom?
Yeah. So I was just really questioning, you know, the schedule of it and, you know, taking her in her life consideration. Again, not like every other kid. She's not like every other kid. Yeah. She was in surgery every 3 to 4 weeks. And I was like, hey, I don't know that I want to put that much stuff on her immune system.
Yeah.
You know? And so I started questioning.
And your body's tiny at that point, right? She's dealing with a lot. Right. Do we want to give her those extra, you know, that's, as parents, we should be able to question that.
She was under anesthesia 13, 14 times in the first year and a half of her life. Mm-hmm. So again, I just questioned it. And he made me feel like this big and like told me that, you know, I was doing a cruel and unusual punishment by wanting to separate her combo vaccines. Because again, I was just thinking logically, like, how do you even know what's going to cause, like, what if she has a reaction? You don't even know which one she could be having a reaction from.
Because they've now included multiple in one shot. One.
Right. Yep. And so that was starting to like make me think, okay, this is not right. Like there was no peace. And you guys know I'm a believer. And when I don't have peace about something, then I know that's chaos and I know that's not from God.
Yeah.
And so I completely shut it down. My husband and I prayed about it. We were like, nope, we're not doing any vaccines. We are going to, like, we had, at that time, we were able to keep her home. I wasn't worried about, you know, her being exposed to things.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to keep her at home. I'm not going to give her vaccines. She's not going to be exposed to anybody. Because again, they were making me feel like I was a bad parent.
But again, you weren't anti-vaccine.
No,
your son was fully vaccinated.
It was just until he was 4.
The issue of your daughter going through surgeries and transplants.
Yes. And
but
so
you're shamed.
I was
by
shamed.
The doctors.
Yes, yes. And I mean, I was even nervous to tell anybody. Like, so I didn't.
Because it was looked down on for a long time. It's I think definitely getting more widely accepted right now with the health movement. But it was frowned upon and looked at, oh, you're a tin hat.
Crazy.
What is it? Tin foil hat or whatever that saying. Yes.
Yeah. And to me, logically, I was like, okay, she's going under anesthesia. That's so hard on your body. If you've ever been under anesthesia, you know that it's hard on your body. And I was like, okay, so you're wanting to give her this like 5 different vaccines in one injection. And anyway, I ended up firing the doctor and, you know, we found a different doctor that, again, wasn't totally against vaccines, but was open to a scheduled type of vaccination schedule. But ultimately, we didn't do it for her because she was in surgery so much. She was under anesthesia so much that, you know, by the time she was 3, I was like, okay, why? I mean, I'm not going to do it. And then we ended up having a third child, you know, Faith, and she has 0 vaccines. So, you know, it opened my eyes so much. And again, it's not that I'm saying if you get vaccines that you're wrong. I just look at, you know, God's children and I look at their situations and I look at, you know, the way he created us to, you know, heal and that not every child's the same. So you should definitely take into consideration the things that are going on in different kids' lives and maybe, you know, rethink, like, they're not robots. I mean, that's the way he made me feel, was like, they're a robot. Like, hello, Like every kid should get this, and this should be scheduled like every, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. And no matter what's going on in their life, we're going to still do them. Like, no, thanks, but no thanks.
Like a little assembly line.
Yes. And right. And they even made it easier. That's the whole reason they created the combo vaccination.
It is, actually. Because it's easier. Parent's going to bring their kid in to get jabbed 21 times. So here, let's just make it into three instead of that many. And then the aluminum and then the crossing the blood. But there's all things. And again, it goes back to who knows. You know, I know what's right for me and my family. But that's the only ones that I'm going to make decisions for. But I want to have the information. And I don't think that it's right that the information is hidden. I don't think it's right that it's buried or that people are made to be as if they are gone off their rocker. They're crazy. They're not credible. Let's pull their license, which is exactly what happens when you really deep dive into the individuals that have tried to bring light to factual information of links that they've, whether it's patients, whether it is peer-reviewed studies that they are bringing light to, and how often it is just shut down.
Yeah.
Because it does not fit the narrative.
It doesn't.
And anytime you've got something that doesn't fit that narrative, we're going to get it away, and we are going to just basically shit all over it until no one believes it.
Yeah.
And I remember, again, that's what happened to Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
It was, they're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. Well, with the stuff that's starting to come to light, they were not crazy. They were actually bringing light to.
I put my money on any mom. I mean, that believes like they know their child. You know,
well, one's going to advocate for your child like you do. No one, and that's what we've got to do as parents and as moms. You've got it, but we've got to have the information. And if it's hidden from us, right? How are we able to make those educated decisions?
Right. And that's all I was asking. Yeah. I was just asking for, hey, you know, I'm ready to start vaccinating. And like, you know, he pooped all over that. He was like, you're doing cruel and unusual punishment by separating these vaccines. And I'm like, okay, so you can tell me that, you know, that this vaccine is not going to hurt her. And, you know, again, she's had cornea transplant. Her body is fighting the cornea that's just been, you know, stitched into her eye. You can't guarantee that. You don't know enough. And there's five doses in one vaccine. How do you know which one it is? It was mind boggling. And I know that there's other parents out there that are, you know, questioning like, you know, how do I advocate for my kid? And you are the parent. That's the reality. You know, I mean, and the other question I asked him was, okay, I knew at that time it was 2011, whooping cough was really prominent. And so that was the one vaccine she got. And I looked at it from a broader angle. Like, again, I wasn't saying not to ever do anything. I was just wanting to get all the information.
You just didn't know.
Yeah.
You had a whole bunch of unknowns, right? You had a child, a baby that had to have multiple surgeries. You just didn't know. And as a mom, you just wanted to make sure you're making the right decision.
Right.
Which is what that's what we want as parents. Right. We want to make sure that we're doing right by our children and making the best decision that we can.
And then you look at where we are now with the health of children, right? Like we're trying to make kids healthy. I mean, that was this whole initiative was how do we get our kids healthy again?
Yeah.
And I think it does start. I mean, the United States does 69 doses. There's 16 vaccines and they're given between age 0 and 6. That is insane. That is, like you mentioned, it's double to triple the rest of the world.
We triple where they're going to compare, and the ones that are trying to downplay this study that was just brought to light are bringing up in comparison the Denmark study. But again, you can't compare it because it was comparing children who received a third of what the United States children received in relation to vaccines or immunizations.
Right.
And so you just can't compare the two because we have such a heavy load, especially those first 2 years, if we follow that CDC recommendation.
Yeah.
And which so many of us do because
that's what we're told.
It's just, it makes sense, right? We've got the CDC to look after us. We've got all these great federal agencies or that departments that are going to help make sure that everything that we are putting in and on our bodies is safe.
Yep.
Yet here we are.
But, you know, RFK just made a kind of cleaned house. He fired 17 people and he got a lot of flack for that. But he was like, okay, if it's broken, we got to fix it.
Any business owner, think about it.
Yeah.
You have a business, doesn't matter what it is, and you are failing miserably and you're underperforming all, for the most part, your peers. Why would you continue to let the leadership do what they do. Yeah. Obviously, we need new leadership. You don't know what you're doing. I mean, exactly. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's cleaning house. And why would anybody be upset about that? Why? I don't get it. I mean, I know it seems like the media is trying to make him out like he doesn't know, but it's crazy. He sure did have a following before he was in this position. So it's just, again, it all goes back to the narrative. I love him. I love what he's bringing light to. I think he's exactly what this country needs right now in bringing light to all the wrong that we have in our healthcare and just in health related things in general.
Well, I'm proud of him because, you know, it would be so easy just to turn the blind eye. That's what we've been doing for years now.
Yep.
And he was like, no, this is not the way I wanted for, you know, our kids, and I don't want for the United States. Like, again, you mentioned the military. Like, we're not going to have a military if we keep at this pace.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's not. It's scary.
It's extremely scary. It's just sad. It's sad that this is sometimes the state of the health in this country, but the positive is everything he's doing to bring light to it, bring awareness to it, the education that is out there now, the access to that, if we dive into it, there's so many great things out there that we can do and starting to learn about those and heal our bodies.
Yeah.
And heal and
help ourselves. I mean, we have the ability, like I said, you know, we have the ability to help ourselves. I mean, there's enough out there. And if we do the due diligence in just first step is just accepting the fact that there may be things in your life that you need to change. And that acceptance is hard.
Just being open, I think. Yeah. Just being receptive.
But just being honest with yourself. I mean, if you don't feel good, then maybe start to figure out what is it that's making me not feel good.
Yep.
And addressing that is hard because that means change. And we're creatures of habit, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to change. I mean, no one wants to change, but it's the reality that needs to take place.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our job is not to, you know, make you guys change or decide what you want to do with your life. However, if there is that inkling in you that you're like, man, you know, like there's things that I see in my kid that I'm concerned about, or maybe it's within myself that I'm concerned about, maybe it's that wake up call for you. And maybe you need to maybe look at what you're doing in your life that you could change in small little ways.
Yes.
Right?
It's like we talk about those small things, they really do add up. And again, I think the numbers that were released and the fact that, again, 3 of 4 people have some sort of a chronic issue that goes back to this is exactly why we want to bring light to so many things is, you know, we had varying different wake-up calls that I guess kind of shocked us into, wow, we've got to make some changes and making that easier for others that want to do the same.
Yeah. You know, I guess I thought my wake-up call was, you know, me going through breast cancer, but really my true wake-up call was Finley. I mean, really, Finley 14 years ago being born made me question to a degree, not necessarily for myself. You know, it's always your kids. I think it's really where it really gets hit is your children.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I get emotional just talking about what we've gone through with her. And, you know, I can tell you that that wake-up call made me look at, for her specifically and my other two kids, like how I was going to, you know, move forward with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, after Finley was born, I didn't vaccinate Faith and I stopped all vaccinations for Max. And I think that everybody, you know, has their different wake up calls and everybody goes through different things in their life. But, you know, again, our mission is just to, you know, teach you what's out there, bring exposure to things that maybe
exposing what's being hidden.
Yes.
And this isn't, intentionally, it seems like it is being hidden, being covered up, especially, again, like the doctor in Oregon that had his license pulled when he released the peer-reviewed study that showed the drastic change, the drastic differences in things like autism, ADHD between vaccinated and unvaccinated in thousands of children that were in his practice. Again, a peer-reviewed study. Yep. And we are going to link that study. He pulled it because his medical license was revoked, but we're going to put links to everything. So again, you all can do your due diligence and we encourage you, as Dallas said, and you put up great. If you feel that inkling of you want to question, you want to start to look into it, we're going to put those links just to make it easier.
Well, the name catches you, but the truth keeps you.
Thanks for joining.
Thanks for joining.